This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It is 6:08 in the Twin Cities. How are you doing, Minnesota? How are you doing, Upper Midwest? And all those who can hear me in other states and also in Canada, I hope you're doing okay. We are all hanging in here. We will get through this. This feels like definitely week two of the extreme measures. The question is, how long will these extreme measures last to try and prevent COVID-19 from spreading more seriously here? In just a couple of minutes, we'll be joined by a professor, Liang Ding, from McAllister, to talk about what it's like in China right now as they are post-COVID-19. But I do want to check in with my fabulous producer, Jonathan Lowe. We are in different places. I'm alone in a little closet. He's in another building. And I just want to know how you're doing, Jonathan.
I'm doing okay. It's been a very interesting last couple of weeks, and I'm just trying to, you know, trying to make sense of it all and trying to make sure that I am making things as safe as possible for people I interact with. I've been
right.
Trying to reach out to a couple of family members, mom, dad, my brother.
Who are in Kansas City,
right? For the most part, I've just been kind of hunkering down and just laying low.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody should really know that, you know, for every, and I know a lot of people, certainly the ratings are up for television and radio because people are tuning in because they're stuck at home. But for every person you see or you hear, there are people who are behind the scenes who are allowing us to get on the air. And it's gotten a lot harder than it used to be under these restrictions because we're trying to keep all of us healthy. And so your job's gotten harder. My job's gotten harder over here, but your job has gotten much harder than mine. So I really appreciate it, Jonathan. And
well, thank you. And again, the good thing about living in this time, in this age, is that technology has advanced so much that we can do these type of things that we're doing. You're over at the television station. Most people are broadcasting from home. Last week, we did it out at the WCCO transmitter site. So the technology has grown to the point where we can make ourselves scarce but still have a connectivity among us.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to hear your voice. I can't wait to get back to the point where I'm in the studio with you, with everybody else. It's such a little thing that you completely take for granted, and now it seems you miss it. You really do. So, Jonathan, thank you, and thank you for keeping us on the air here on CCO Radio. I want to get to my first guest. He is a professor of economics from McAllister College. His name is Professor Liang Ding, and we want to talk to him about what it's like in China right now. Now, Professor, did I say your name kind of okay?
I think that's perfect.
That's perfect? Okay, because I asked my daughter, who's a high school senior, who was taking Mandarin, has been taking it for a number of years, and she was so excited because her class was going to go on this big trip in May to China. And, of course, that is not happening right now. But I did ask her how to pronounce it, so I'm glad I got it. I kept on doing it not quite right. She's like, no, that's not quite right, but That's my best professor. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure to be here.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, Professor, you're a professor of economics. How is China doing both in terms of, you know, health-wise and also economically right now?
Right now, you can see they have lifted the mandatory quarantine, and people's lives in general have been back to normal, and workers have been going back to their factory, and the capacity has been increasing, although not 100% restored, but maybe 70%, 80%. So that's overall situation in China now.
Okay. And have most people been able to go back to work? Because, I mean, that's the situation. So many people listening, they're out of their job. They're having to file for unemployment. I mean, have most people been able to go back to their jobs at this point in China?
Right, right. Even during the, the spread of the virus, the typical office jobs of white-collar jobs, they can do the distance kind of work from home. That's the word we use here, work from home. But for manufacturing jobs, many of these workers, they got stuck because of this lockdown. They got stuck in their hometown. They cannot travel. So these manufacturing jobs, mostly the factories have to be shut down during that period.
And are they back open now?
Now, most of them now open now.
Well, that's good news. And then let me ask you, how about the restaurants? I mean, you know, are people able to go to restaurants? Are restaurants able to be open now?
Mm-hmm. Most of them open. Most of the restaurants are open. But the seats is a scarce position. So you don't have to sit very close to people and to prevent, the further spread of the virus.
Okay. So people are still taking precautions, but life is definitely getting back to normal. How about school children? Are they able to go to school?
Right, it varies. For some relatively remote province, the schools have been open and children back to school. But for some, most of the province now still not open yet. It's scheduled to be open gradually starting April.
Okay. I guess I'd like to ask you, Professor, as you look at the U.S. and the response, I mean, really what's happened here has been very similar to what happened in Wuhan and China in terms of the seriousness, although the actual cases in the U.S. has topped China. When do you think it's going to get back to where, when do you think we'll be where China is right now? If you had to guess, I know that that's you're an economist and you do a lot of probabilities and everything like that. But when would you guess we'd be kind of where China is right now?
Right. You know, I'm not the epidemiologist and I'm not a doctor. But right. based on the data, we are still in the early stage of, we have exponentially growing numbers of infections. Right. I think we're still in the early stage of this virus thing.
Wow. Okay. So it's another 2 or 3 months, you're thinking?
I think so.
Right. Okay. Because I remember looking, because my daughter was so looking forward to this trip, and I remember looking on the State Department's web page, it must have been in late December, and there was just one warning for Wuhan about the coronavirus, but it wasn't, widespread. In late December, and there was just one warning for Wuhan about the coronavirus, but it wasn't, widespread. You could still travel to China, and I thought, oh, well, they're not going to go to Wuhan, they'll still be okay. And that was back in December. What are some of the economic lessons that can be learned? I mean, is China's economy recovering? It sounds like people are back to work, so they're getting paid. Are they able to get, groceries and all of those things now?
Even during the peak time of the virus, people still can't get the groceries. That's still going on. That's not the problem. The problem is the export industry,
oh.
Because the orders, large orders from U.S. and European markets, even now they have the capacity to produce these orders, but the orders have been canceled or suspended.
I see, because they're on shutdown.
Right.
So obviously we'll have to recover. So that's another 3 months away. So long term, you're looking at basically a year for the economies to recover at least.
Well, basically, I think very likely we're heading to the global recession here.
Okay.
Because this time, not only the manufacturing part, the service sector, as you can see in the U.S., right, the restaurants, the bars, the movie theater, all shut down, the travel, all the flights, the hotel, right, all different kinds of these service sector industry have been hit severely. And then related to that, manufacturing jobs will be affected. And so I mean, this is not just China, not just U.S. It's in Europe now. And then other countries like India now also locked down for 21 days. So it's a global phenomenon here.
Right. Let me ask you this. In China right now, can you go from city to city? I mean, you know, one of the things that I think is so hard for people is, you know, I was talking with our producer, Jonathan. His family's in Kansas City. You know, you really aren't supposed to, we're not supposed to leave. We're ordered to stay at home by Governor Walls, which I think is a great idea. I think he's doing a very good job at this. But can you travel in China from place to place?
They now have removed the travel restrictions. So definitely you can move from one city to another city. But before they removed that, absolutely no. All highways blocked and the flights canceled, the train stations closed, so people cannot move, even between neighborhood to another neighborhood.
So that's still the case there in China?
No. This has been removed.
Oh, that's so been now, removed. Okay.
Yes.
So you could travel. Could you get on a plane and go from one city to another city in China right now?
Yes.
And how about, you know, the wonderful attractions that my poor daughter was hoping to see with her friends and classmates, like the Great Wall and, you know, the Forbidden City? All of those are they open?
Well, some of them still closed. Most of them now open, but to prevent the overcrowded population within the parks. And the government has some restriction there, too, to control the traffic.
And let me ask you, Professor, we're chatting with Professor Liang Ding of McAllister College. He's a professor of economics, talking about what life is like in China right now. In terms of the lessons learned, is there discussion, and obviously the media situation in China is very different than it is here, but is there discussion about perhaps changes that China or that things China could have done differently? I know that there's been speculation about it perhaps starting in one of these live animal markets. Are there discussions about changes that will take place in China to make sure something like this doesn't happen again?
Right. Well, there are many reflections we need to do for different countries and maybe different kind of perspectives. Now, for China in particular, you mentioned the wild animal market, the wet market.
Yes.
And most people believe the virus originated from there. And in fact, Chinese government has shut down the market and also shut down all the transactions related to wild animals. And that's one thing. And the other thing is when the virus started emerging, actually the cases has been reported early December. But the government obviously didn't want public to know back then. Okay, so there is a delay of notifying general public about the virus. And so obviously Chinese people have criticism about that and about the transparency of the government, about this kind of the virus situation. Now, that's a lesson Chinese government need to learn. But even, you know, from U.S. perspective, you know, you observe the scenario that the hospitals are overwhelmed in New York City and the health workers lack of protection here, even in Minnesota, local hospitals, right?
Yes,
and,
yes.
I mean, the virus started in China 2 months ago. And we also saw what's happening in Italy, in Europe. And what the preparation we have been doing for the local government, for the federal government, I think that there are many questions there. There will be lessons we can learn after these virus.
Right. And I think that's something that a lot of people are looking at. It's like, what did China do? What could they do differently? What about the president, Xi Jinping? Because he was criticized, I think, for a lot of people outside of China. And I assume that criticism probably existed within China, but it couldn't be very vocalized. What is the thought about the government's initial response? It sounds like for a while the government was skeptical, tried to play it down, and then they got on board with some serious efforts to social distance and isolate those who were infected.
Right. I mean, for any government, any extreme strict virus containment measure, that will hurt economy.
Right.
And also that time is Chinese traditional holidays, Chinese New Year time.
Oh, that's right.
People
yes.
are supposed to go back home and celebrate the New Year, and So then all of a sudden, if the government say, well, this is a very quickly spreading virus, everyone has to go stay home, and, you know, people cannot go to the work, that will hurt the economy. That will hurt the atmosphere of that holiday time. So I think in the beginning, probably they hesitate to notify the general public to take relatively more strict measures against the virus. So that's my understanding.
And so, yes, this is something that I've read about, and I wasn't aware that the Lunar New Year in China was such a big holiday, but is it one of the biggest? Is it like a Christmas kind of holiday, Christmas Hanukkah, where everybody kind of goes and visits friends and family?
Right. It is the biggest holiday.
And it happened. That was in January, right?
Right. But the travel started a couple of weeks before because people are supposed to go home.
Got it. And so I have read some articles, fascinating articles, about the timing couldn't have been worse for China, in that it did occur at this moment when Chinese were looking to celebrate and, you know, travel and see each other and families reunite, and it was at the worst possible time. In terms of where China is right now, are there going to be, and I asked you about the changes, are there still cases coming up of COVID? I mean, are there still new cases there?
Mm-hmm. According to the government official number, there's no new cases confirmed.
Wow.
But there's reports as well saying that the infections without symptoms not considered as confirmed cases. How many number? Not sure. And also because the people from foreign countries, they come back to China, and so occasionally there's still cases reported. And so there's still potential risk there. That's my understanding.
And as you sit here, are you not trusting the numbers you're seeing coming out of the Chinese government right now?
Well, in terms of the total number of infections, total number of deaths, people have reason to doubt that, to suspect
right.
It might not be an accurate, true number.
Right. And is there any, there was this story of this young doctor who tried to alert the alarm and say, this is something new, this is something different. And in fact, he was taken to a police station and he later died. And this was a young man in his early 30s. And I know there's been a lot of publicity about that. I believe the Chinese government even apologized to this man's family. Do you think that there will be more understanding if something like this happens again in China, that those who are alerting the government or waving the red flag saying something terrible is happening here, that they'll be listened to?
Right. That doctor was considered as a hero, as a whistleblower, in China. And it was very unfortunate he passed away because of virus.
And a young, I mean, he was in his early 30s, right?
Right, correct.
Yes.
And he was brought in for questioning. And now, later, when this virus break out, government did some investigation and apologized to his family. That didn't happen. But in future, the Chinese government, they control the media. They have motives to cover up the information like that. Even within China, there's intellectuals and there's people who are requesting the investigation on the delay of notification of this virus. They want reform. They want change. They want more transparency. And until that change can be made, I think it's still possible that the government will do the similar thing.
And Professor, we're chatting on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Hotline with Professor Liang Ding of McAllister College. Do you have family over there, and how are they doing?
My parents actually still in China. They are doing fine now, but they experienced the mandatory quarantine for about 4 weeks. I think they literally stay in their apartment for 4 weeks without going out.
Wow. Okay. How did they get food?
The grocery can be. Well, now is e-commerce and mobile internet is pretty popular in China. People have smartphones and apps, commonly used. to buy grocery, like Costco same-day delivery or, you know, Amazon, that kind of thing. Yes.
Okay. Well, good. And I'm glad. And they're okay. They did not get sick.
They're okay.
Okay, great. Well, listen, Professor Deng, you've been so, it's just been fascinating hearing about what's going on in China now. I only wish that we could be at that place here in the U.S., and the recovery there sounds like it's been a slow one, but at least they're back on their feet right now. So thank you so much for sharing. We really appreciate it tonight.
No problem.
Okay, absolutely. That was Professor Liang Ding from McAllister College talking about what life is like in China right now after the most of the coronavirus has passed. Listen, let's take a quick break. We've got weather for you. We've got a lot going on. Oh, I got to get weather ready. I will get weather ready. let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get weather for you. And we also are going to have in our next half hour the president of the Minnesota Nurses Association. These folks are the heroes. They're on the front lines. We'll chat with Mary Turner to see how they're doing after this. So let's take a break. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.